Well, thank you for being here this morning. If you'll please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8. Over the past few messages, we've been looking at the issue of giving to missions. The Bible certainly teaches the principle of missions giving. And during the month of April, we always enjoy the challenge to allow God to increase our faith. And this year we are looking to the Lord once again to encourage us. So I hope you don't mind this morning we'll be looking at giving once again. I hope you're not offended. We don't give in order to get a place in heaven. Amen. We give because of His unspeakable gift. We give because Christ first gave Himself for us. If we are blood-bought children of God, we would certainly have a desire to serve God and enjoy the privilege of God using us to do His will and work in our local church. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Why don't we begin in verse 10 and then we'll read verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 10. Verse 10 says, "And herein I give my advice." You see, giving was not commanded, but the Apostle Paul gave his advice, and it was this: "For this is expedient, or an advantage, a benefit for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." So we know that the church in Corinth had promised a gift to give. They had made a commitment, they had made a promise, and the Apostle Paul was giving his advice and telling them that it's to your benefit that you fulfill your commitment. Verse 11. "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." This morning we are going to look at the commitment of giving to missions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, Lord, we pray that you would teach us. We pray that the Spirit of God would lead us into all truth this morning. And Father, that you would revive our hearts once again to be involved in your work in the regions beyond. And Lord, we know and understand, Lord, we have the responsibility to be a witness here in this city, in this nation. Lord, help us also to lift up our eyes and look upon the field of the world that is wide unto harvest, and help us do our part, Lord, in praying and giving to missionaries whom you have called to go, that we would have the privilege of partnering with. Lord, challenge us and rebuke us and instruct us by your word, we pray, for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, let me begin with a little story about a girl who was given $2 by her dad. Now, they were two $1 coins, and her dad said to her, he said this, "$1 is for you, and $1 is for the Lord. You can do with the other dollar as much as you, whatever you want with it, but that other dollar is the Lord's." Now, she accepted that agreement, that promise. She made that commitment. She said, "Yes, that's fine." And as a little girl, she excitedly ran down the road to the corner shop to get as much lollies that $1 could afford. Now, on her way to the shop, unfortunately, she fell over, as little girls often do. And as she fell over, tragically, she saw one of the dollar coins roll out of her hand into the gutter and down the drain. And guess what happened as she stood up? She saw that $1 disappear, and she looked up and she said to the Lord, "Lord, well, there goes your dollar." And you know, we can laugh, and we should, but to be honest, you and I also can make funny excuses. Amen. For not keeping our commitments to God. And when it comes to missions giving, when it comes to any kind of giving, we understand that a commitment to the Lord is a commitment to the Lord. Now, we don't know why the Christians in Corinth had not yet kept their commitment of giving to the offering needed in Jerusalem. We don't know why they did not fulfill their commitment. But what we do know, that in this portion of Scripture, God has seen it fit for us to learn from their example, for us to be instructed. You see, the Corinthians had made a promise to give, and they had not yet fulfilled their commitment. And so Paul wrote to them in the book of 2 Corinthians, and he encouraged them to keep their commitment to give. Now, it's interesting, by doing so, by encouraging them, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul uses the Macedonian Christians as an example. Now, the Macedonians' example of giving was a unique one, because not only did they give to the need in Jerusalem, but they also gave to support the Apostle Paul as a missionary. And that's where we find the principle of giving to missions. Giving to missions is not commanded. There is no command in the Bible to give financially to support missionaries, but the Bible tells us we are to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Now, since it's impossible for you and I to do that, the Lord shows us in His Word how we can do that. The Lord shows us in His Word that we are just like the Macedonians of old to support missionaries like the Apostle Paul, who have been called to go to places that you and I cannot, called to do the will of God in places that you and I have not been called to go. And the Macedonian Christians, those in Philippi, those in Thessalonica, gave sacrificially to the Apostle Paul. Last Sunday morning, we saw their example in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, how they were in a terrible situation. The Bible tells us in chapter 8, verse 2, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded, increased unto the riches of their liberality. They were not only a giving church, giving Christians, but in their circumstances, the trials that they were facing, the persecution, their deep poverty, they did not just give, they gave generously. In fact, they gave joyfully. How did they do that? They first gave themselves to the Lord. So the only way that you and I can give anything to the Lord is to first surrender our own hearts in thankfulness to what the Lord has done for us. They were a wonderful example, but they are also an example of giving to missions. Last Sunday night we understood that giving is not a command, but it is expedient. The Apostle Paul said, look, this is of benefit to you. Giving to missions is a benefit to the church, the Christian, and to the world in order to help spread the gospel throughout the regions beyond. Now, the Corinthians, where we come to chapter 8 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul has encouraged them with the example of the Macedonians. We've seen that. Secondly, he encouraged them that it's expedient for them to give. It's to your benefit. Not just the benefit of others, it's for your benefit that you give. Now, the Apostle Paul is encouraging them that it's time to act. It's time to act. So on this Faith Promise Missions Sunday, when we begin to take up our commitments, let me encourage you, church family, as we act, as we pray for what the Lord would have us to give, let me encourage you likewise, God wants us to challenge us this morning to keep our commitments. To keep our commitments. You see, God has some truth for us to be challenged with. Some truth for us to be encouraged with. You see, God wants His people to keep His commitments. That's why Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. And this morning we're going to look at a few thoughts when it comes to missions giving and keeping our commitments to God. Notice first of all, in chapter 9. Thank you for turning with me there. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." Now, just one thing I'd like to look at, and we'll move on and look at a few more things in this verse. But notice at the end of the verse, how did the Corinthians promise to give? Well, they promised to make a commitment to give with zeal. Is that right? Notice verse number 2. "And your zeal hath provoked very many." Look, they were a church, a group of Christians that were excited to give to a need, to give to a
cause. They were zealous about it. In fact, they were so excited and their commitment was so genuine, the Apostle Paul also got excited. And guess what he did? Well, he boasted about them to other churches. He boasted too about them to the churches in Macedonia. And it was ironic because the Macedonian Christians began to give because of the Corinthians' commitment and the zeal in which they promised to give. It's an interesting situation. Now, in turn, the Apostle Paul challenges the Corinthians once again. Hey, you need to keep your commitment. But they gave, they were willing to give initially with zeal. Zeal. Now, what happened? Well, we don't know. But what we do know, and what we can understand, is that when it comes to giving to God, zeal is not enough. Being excited is not enough. You know, we ought to be excited about giving to missions. We ought to be excited about praying for our missionaries. But how many of you understand we can get excited one day and then not be as excited the next day? You know, Wednesday night was an incredibly exciting night. Amen? For those of you who were able to join us, we watched some videos of our dear brother David Vo, who's a member of our church. Now back in Vietnam, God has called David to reach the Vietnamese people, his own people. And he's finally been led of the Lord to the place and the calling that God would have him to be in. And he's going to join the Johnsons in Cambodia, just across the border, to train, to serve, and to reach the almost 1 million Vietnamese immigrants across the border. There's freedom of religion in Cambodia. Now, this is exciting for our church because he's a member of our church. He's one of our own. And we ought to be excited when we see a Christian surrendered to the Lord, Christians willing to be missionaries. We ought to be excited to support them. But let me say this, sometimes our excitement dies down. And we need to go further than a zeal to give to missions. We need to go further than that. Because the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. So when it comes to giving, our giving needs to be not grounded in excitement, but grounded in a promise. That's why we call our giving faith promise, missions giving. You might be here this morning, you might say, how do I know what God wants me to give to missions in 2016? Well, the Lord says, ask. Amen? Ask. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We simply need to ask the Lord. Now, how does God speak to us? Through His divine word. And we've been encouraging one another to pray and say, Lord, what would you have me to give? And when God speaks to us through His word, the exciting thing is, when God tells us what to give, we know that comes with a promise. We saw the promise to the Philippians last Sunday morning where Paul encouraged them that God shall provide for all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that was a promise given to them in light of their giving to Him as a missionary. But my God shall provide all your need. And when God shows us what to give, friends, that is a promise from God that we can hold on to and say, well, if this is what God wants me to give, then I just trust by faith God will provide as I give, and I simply need to trust in the Lord. You see, our giving needs to be grounded by faith in the Word of God, not just excitement. Excitement comes and goes. Hey, some of us were excited about maybe a hobby, and we've given up. Some of us were excited about something or other in our lives, and we've quit. And why is the reason for that? Well, there are many reasons. But when it comes to giving to missions, when it comes to giving to God, once we've made a commitment, God doesn't want us to quit. Amen? It's not His will for us to quit. You see, the Corinthians, for one reason or another, had not yet fulfilled their commitment. And the Apostle Paul was now saying, now is the time to perform the doing of it. All right? Don't go backwards, you need to go forwards. Though their zeal was there in the beginning, there has to be much more involved. There has to be a passion for the work of God. There needs to be a seeking after the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to give? And then when God shows us what to give personally, we need to mark that down. You know, last time we prayed as a family and the Lord led me to know what to give in this past year of missions giving, it was a specific number from the Word of God. God says, I want you to give this much. And that verse I remembered and wrote down because I knew that I have a weak flesh. I've got a weak flesh just like yours that can be tempted to doubt. To wake up maybe the next morning and think to myself, well, did God really say that to me? Or did I just come across that verse out of nowhere? Have you ever thought that to yourself when God has given you some kind of instruction from the Word of God? See, we all have a flesh. We're all tempted to doubt. And you and I need to live by faith. Look, if God has shown us what to give, we need to write that down. It's good for us to tell our wives, husbands. Wives, it's good for you to tell your husbands, to pray, to keep accountable to one another. And write that down and mark that down, because if God has shown you what to give, then by faith we give, trusting in His promise that He will give us the power, the ability to give beyond what we have. You see, the Macedonian Christians gave, yes, beyond their power. They didn't just give to the need at hand. They gave beyond what they could afford to give. They gave by faith. And you and I have to give, not just because we're excited in the month of April, but because God is in it. Amen? Don't just give something that you think fits in your budget. What's the danger of that? Well, it's just something you're able to give right now, but our budget can change. Isn't that true? All year we may not receive the same income, and God may be testing our faith. And yes, He does test our faith. So we need to have a conviction grounded in the Word of God. We need to base our promises and commitments not on our excitement, but on the Word of God. That's how you and I are able to give by faith. Let me encourage you, church family, if you've made a commitment, if you have praying about what to give, make sure that it's a commitment to the Lord, seeking His will in His Word. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, now therefore perform the doing of it. As there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. In verse 11. So first of all, remember the promise of your commitment. Don't just remember the excitement, because feelings change, but the Word of God abideth forever. Amen? Seek the Lord's will. Remember the promise based on the Word of God. And if God's Word has shown you something to do, amen? Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen? God will provide. He will test that faith over the next year. That's guaranteed. The budget will change. The income may drop, but God's faithfulness never changes. Amen? So once you have the Word of God, hold on to it. Understand that your promise is based upon His promise. The promise of your commitment. All right, secondly, notice the price of your commitment. Now, this is interesting. In chapter 9 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says this to the Corinthians to challenge them to keep their commitment. He said, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. You see, the Apostle Paul was confident to boast about the church in Corinth, about those who had been so zealous to give. He was so excited, he told the churches in Macedonia, and now he has to write back to the Corinthians and say, hey, you need to keep your commitment, because they're giving, you haven't fulfilled your commitment. If they find out, they're going to be discouraged. It's going to be a shame. You'll be ashamed, we'll be ashamed, that you haven't fulfilled your commitment in giving. And what we are reminded of this morning, secondly, is the price of our commitment. The price of our commitment. You see, in any commitment in life, there is a price attached. There is a price attached. See, for the Corinthians, they were an encouragement to begin with. Is that right? They were an encouragement to the Apostle Paul. They were encouragement to other churches. But suddenly, they were in jeopardy of being a discouragement. Because if they failed to give that which was promised, they would ruin their testimony. They would be a stumbling block. They would be a discouragement to the church in Philippi, who had now gone beyond and given so sacrificially because of the example of the Corinthians. And as God's people, when it comes to giving to missions, we're reminded that our testimony is at stake when it comes to giving to missions. Now, it's great to be excited. It's great to give. It's great to be involved in the work of God, but there is a price to pay. Friends, we have a testimony as a church, and God cares about what we do. And so, for example, when it comes to our missions giving, we have the wonderful privilege that by faith, in these past few years of Faith Promise Missions Giving, we've been able to, by God's grace, support 9 missionaries. And that's exciting. It's exciting to know that by faith we can support more. But friends, we need to be challenged by the Word of God to understand that if we fail in our commitments, we will be a discouragement to others. We will be a discouragement. And when it comes to the 9 we are supporting, I believe that commitment was not just for a year. Amen? If our missionaries are still there after a year, we need to continue our giving after a year. Is that correct? We need to continue to give. And if suddenly this year we decide, look, I can't afford to give, and I've been giving maybe for a couple of years, I've had my turn, and look, it doesn't fit in the budget anymore, so I'm going to stop giving. Suddenly, as a church, we may not be able to support those 9 missionaries. So what do we do? Let me be honest with you. I don't want to be the one to make the phone call. Can I be honest? And who will we say to? Which one of the 9 missionaries will we say, look, this year we can't afford to support you? I'm sorry. You see, the Corinthians' testimony was at stake. The Apostle Paul wrote to them to encourage them, look, now perform the doing of it. Keep your commitment. Don't be a discouragement. Don't be a stumbling block because others are giving, because you promised to give. And as Christians, we need to realize, yes, it's exciting to be a part of God's work, but we need to keep our commitments. Our commitments. Our commitments to our missionaries. We don't want to be ashamed, amen, of our encouragement turning to discouragement. We want to continue to be an encouragement. We want to continue to move forward by faith. But there is a price for our commitment, our testimony. Also, when it comes to giving to missions, there's a price to pay within our own families. You know, as we pray for an amount and God lays it upon our heart and we excitedly fill out a card and pop it in the offering bag and we know what we're giving, others don't know, it's anonymous, but we might share with our family. There's a testimony within our families too, is there not? Because when that faith is tested, when we perhaps, like the little girl, said, yes, I accept those conditions, and yes, that's for you, Lord, and yes, that's for me, and suddenly we're tested in the area of giving, and then we stop our giving, and what happens to our testimony at home? What happens to our faith in our children's eyes? Now, I'm not saying this to discourage you from giving. Amen? The Apostle Paul wasn't saying this to put a guilt trip upon them, because God doesn't want anyone to give out of guilt. The Apostle Paul was saying, hey, you were such an encouragement, okay? You were such an encouragement and a testimony to others. Make sure you fulfill the promise you made. Make sure you do that. As we give, as we commit, church family, as you give, keep that commitment. There's a price to be paid. The testimony before the missionaries we support. And by God's grace, if we're able to take on more missionaries by faith, and perhaps you're here this morning and you haven't been involved in missions giving, you might say this year, yes, I want to get involved. And for the first time, you start giving by faith. Remember, as we support more missionaries, if we drop the amount we're giving 6 months in and we've already taken some more missionaries on, also, that would be to our shame. Because then how can we support the missionaries we've taken on? You see, we all need to live by faith when it comes to giving. We need to remember the promise of our commitment, but also the price. We have a testimony. We want to be an encouragement and not a discouragement. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying to the church in Corinth. Likewise, within our own church. And maybe the church in Corinth, there were some that were willing to give, some that had not yet given, and the total amount had not added up yet, and so they haven't given as a church. Remember, when it comes to missions giving, friends, it's not my giving alone, it's not your giving alone, it's our giving together. And as you give, and as I give, we will be encouraged by one another's faith together as a church. But if we commit to a certain amount and we press forward and suddenly the giving drops, then what happens? Our once encouragement becomes a discouragement, becomes a stumbling block. So I hope you agree this morning that we don't want to be a stumbling block. Amen? We need to understand that when we make a commitment, there is a cost. And that's fine. Amen? That's fine if we commit to the Lord to say, yes, I will give. And yes, Lord, I understand there is a price. And Lord, I take that upon myself, and by faith, I'm going to trust in you to give me the grace to keep giving. There is a price. You know, please don't have the attitude, I'll give it a go and let's just see what happens throughout the year. Friends, that's not giving by faith. That's giving by budget, okay? That's giving by circumstance. Faith, promise, missions, giving is not the tithe. It's a separate giving. It's a giving not based upon what comes in. It's a giving based upon what God puts into our hearts. Amen? By faith, we give. And we trust Him to provide. Each week, each year, there is a price. You know, people are watching our faith. Other churches are watching our faith. Other Christians are watching our faith. Let's hold up the banner of faith and understand that, yes, there's a price to be paid. Let's be willing to pay that price of a good testimony. That's why the Apostle Paul challenged them regarding his boasting of them. Let's not be ashamed, he said to them. Perform the doing of it. Remember the price of your commitment. Now, thirdly, are you still with me this morning?
Yep.
Thirdly, let's remember that our promise is a commitment to God. You know, sometimes we lose sight of the fact that when we give in church, that it is not a promise to the pastor. I may be doing the preaching this morning, but I hope you see this morning that the Word of God is challenging us to give, to keep our commitments, to remember that our commitments need to be founded in more than zeal, but in God Himself. And when it comes to giving, our commitments are not to one another, not to our husband or wives at the end of the day, not to this pastor, not to this church, but our commitment is a commitment to God.
Amen.
Commitment to God. Notice verse number 9, excuse me, chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, and verse 7. Chapter 9 and verse 7, a few verses down. Let's read this verse aloud together, shall we? On two. One, two. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, as a pastor, I love a cheerful giver. Amen? We love it as a church when our faith promise increases and we have the exciting joy of taking on more missionaries. We love that. That's exciting. But at the end of the day, our giving is not for the benefit of one another. The Bible tells us, who loveth the cheerful giver? God. Our giving is to God. When we give in church, we give to God. Whatever we give, it's to God.
Amen.
At the end of the day, giving is an act of worship.
Amen.
And we need to understand when God leads us to commit to giving to missions, it's not a giving to please the pastor. It's a giving that is well pleasing unto God. And that's how we need to see it. That's how we need to see it. Look, if you only give out of guilt because I'm preaching on giving, that giving's going to drop very quickly. And you decide, I don't want to do this anymore. And you decide that you know, you're not able to give anymore. But when it comes to giving to God, well, suddenly there's a challenge there. Because if my promise is a promise to God, that means that's a serious promise. That means that is a serious commitment. See, what we're doing in supporting missions is not playing around with, we're not playing games, amen, as a church.
Amen.
We're not. We're not trying something new out, amen. We're not giving something a go. We as a people of God are serious about serving the Lord in this place and partnering with missionaries whom God has seriously called to go and to preach the gospel and to send the gospel out into the regions beyond. As a church family, we are serious about the Great Commission. We need to be serious about our promises to give. You see, our promises are promises to God. Now, it's not commanded, it is expedient. But once that commitment is made, just like the church in Corinth, it is expected. Amen? Once that commitment is made, it is expected. It is a commitment to God. Notice with me in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. In the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Thank you for turning with me there. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Notice God's wisdom regarding making vows and commitments. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Look with me, please, in verses 4 to 5. The Bible says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, notice it says, unto God, defer not to pay it. For he, which is God, hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Verse 5, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Amen. See, when it comes to our commitments to God, we need to understand how God feels about a vow, about a commitment. He doesn't take it lightly. Look, God is not forcing us to give. But if God has put it in our hearts to give, then that is a commitment to God. And we need to reverence the Lord. We need to respect the Lord. We need to understand that God would have us not give at all if we're not going to keep our commitments. A vow to God. A vow to God. You know, in these past 10 years of giving to missions, God has tested my faith time and time again. I remember as a Bible college student, God had laid an amount on my heart that I could not possibly give, but I trusted Him to provide. I didn't have work. I was studying full time, and miraculously, God provided contract work in the school holidays, every holiday, in order to pay the bills and to enable me to give. Now, I didn't know that at the beginning of the year, what would happen. I just stepped out by faith to go to college. And as you can imagine, things became tight. But suddenly, every school holidays, I was able to get work, and because it's a contract type of work, as you understand, contract work is often paid much more than full-time work. That's just the nature of work. And so the Lord enabled me by grace to keep giving. But one holiday, guess what happened? There was no work. Suddenly I was out of work. Suddenly there was no work for the school holidays to enable me to pay the fees for the next term. What was I going to do? And the Lord was testing my faith. And the first thing that came to mind, I was like that little girl with the two coins. Do I say, Lord, there goes your missions giving? Or do I say, Lord, there goes some of the extras that I used to spend money on? Lord, maybe I need to sacrifice and keep my commitment to you. Because my commitment was a commitment to God. And if God had promised it, then I need to trust Him to fulfill it, even when that faith is tested. You see, it's good for us to remember it is a commitment to God. It's good for us to remember that it's not a commitment to me or to the church, even to our missionaries. There's a testimony. But at the end of the day, our promise is to God, grounded in His Word. So what will we do? Well, I just continued to study, and I didn't pick up any work, so I was just living off savings, and I kept giving to missions, and God started to miraculously provide. Different people started to cook food for me. They didn't know my situation. Suddenly, when I turned up next term, my books were paid for. My term's bill was paid for because of a graphics job I did about a year ago for the principal of the school. And that term, he decided to pay my bill. He had no idea that I wasn't working that holiday. And you see, God was showing me that, yes, He'll test our faith, but He wants to strengthen our faith. He wants to encourage our faith. But that takes testing. So in those times of testing, church family, remember His promise. Amen. Remember the price to be paid, and remember that our promise is a promise to God. A promise to God. He holds us to our commitments. He holds us to our commitments. God's attitude. Now the Bible tells us, don't give grudgingly. If you feel pressured to give, what does God say? Don't give. All right? We need to get our hearts right before God. We need to want to give. We need to have a willing heart. But He doesn't want us to give grudgingly. He doesn't want us to give of necessity, feeling forced to give. He wants us to purpose in our heart. But once we've made that commitment, God holds us to it. And the important thing is, as Christians, is to continue to walk by faith. Perhaps the commitment God would have you to make is a little bit scary because it doesn't fit in the budget. That's the best kind of commitment. Amen. God puts it in your heart. What a wonderful journey of faith. What a wonderful journey of faith between you and the Lord. As we continue to walk by faith, we'll enjoy seeing His supernatural provision. Now let me quickly slip this in. I'm watching your time. As I was in Bible college, I was still confused. Why did God not provide for my financial needs? I was really running on empty. Still giving to missions, still able to eat and have a roof over my head. And then, at the end of that year, suddenly, God took me out of the unit I was in, sharing with someone else. He wanted to get me out of that situation and into the dorms at the Bible college, which I didn't want to stay in. They weren't that nice for a reason. They were meant to toughen you up. And I enjoyed my nice little Sydney apartment with all its comforts and all its extras. And I didn't want to move out of there, but God was directing me out of that situation. Don't have time to go into the details. But God held back my income for a reason. To stretch me by faith, but to move me on to another place. You see, just because God allows that income to be dropped doesn't mean He's still not in control. Amen. Doesn't mean He's no longer faithful. My friends, God is an unchanging God. God is a God that we can trust in, that we can run after by faith and know that He will never let us down. He will never let us go. He will never break His promises. That's why we need to remember our commitment is to God. If it's God, then He will give us the grace to keep that commitment. But a vow is a vow. Let me encourage your church family to take it seriously. Amen? To say, yes, this is exciting, but it is a serious commitment. Lastly, notice with me, most of all, remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish we had time to study this wonderful book. Maybe one day we will. But notice how the Apostle Paul ends chapter 9. Let's read verse 15 aloud together onto 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. 1, 2. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Now, how does Paul end his encouragement? He takes their hearts and minds back to the One who has given His all for us. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse number 9 in chapter 8. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. God is not talking about money, amen? God is talking about the fact that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, came down from His heavenly glory, His eternal glory in heaven, and He humbled Himself to become a servant, took upon Himself the form of a man, a form of a servant, and He suffered and died on the cross for your sins and mine, so that we through His suffering, His poverty, His sacrifice for our sins, might become rich. Amen. And friends, the riches in the Bible here is not the riches of money. These riches weigh far more than any gold could ever afford. These riches weigh far more than anyone could ever hope for. The eternal salvation, forgiveness, redemption available through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul reminds these Christians, hey, if you've forgotten how much Christ has given to you, then maybe you've forgotten the reason to give. Maybe that's one of the reasons why you haven't fulfilled your commitment. And as Christians, we always need to cast our hearts back to the reason why we give. The Apostle Paul said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That stands to mean that it is unreasonable to give anything other than full surrender to God. Why? Because He has given His all for us. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful Savior. Friend, let me ask you this morning as we end. If you died today, do you know where you will spend eternity? If you died today, are you sure that your sins are forgiven? Friend, the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is a holy God. We deserve His full wrath and judgment. That's why there's a place called hellfire. Why? Because we are so sinful in the sight of a holy God. We think we're pretty good. But if we were to stand next to the Lord Jesus Christ, we would see ourselves as we really are. Sinners, deserving to be separated from God forever. But thank God for His unspeakable gift. Thank God, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternally, forever, everlasting life. The gift of God. If you're here this morning and you're not sure where you will spend eternity, God's message to you this morning is not to give, but to receive what has been given. To receive His precious gift of forgiveness. If you're not sure where you'll spend eternity, let me encourage you to raise your hand during the invitation time. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you up the front. I'd simply like to talk to you after the service and show you from the Word of God how you can be sure your sins are forgiven, that you've received God's way of forgiveness and have an eternal future with Him. But church family, if you are a Christian, then I hope I don't need to convince you this morning to give. I don't need to do that. That's what makes my job easy, amen? I don't need to twist anyone's arm. I don't need to keep preaching till midnight, amen?
That's right.
Why? Because if the Spirit of God lives in you, then you already know what to do. You already know what's right. What is expedient? What is a benefit? But now the Apostle Paul says, perform the doing of it. But be careful. Zeal is not enough. Remember the promise. Remember your testimony. Yes, there is a price to pay. Remember your promise is a commitment to God. Not to us, but to our Heavenly Father. A commitment to God. God expects us to keep it. Why? Because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of our passion for Him and our desire to be involved in the work of God. As we close in prayer, perhaps the Lord would have you to pray for the first time. Lord, I've not given to missions, not like this before. Lord, show me, I pray, in the days to come, what you would have me to give. Maybe, Christian, God has laid a number on your heart and you know what the Lord wants you to give, and I know how you feel, and you're holding that card nervously at home thinking, am I really going to put this in the offering bag? Let me encourage you to give the only way that you can possibly do that, by faith, trusting in His promises. Keep your commitment to God by His grace. And lastly, if you need to put your hand up for salvation, my friends, we have a wonderful Savior who lives today, and anyone that comes to Him, He will not cast out. Will you come to Him this morning for salvation?